morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We're continuing a discussion we had with Mayor Sandy Moriarty last week, Mike, and we've got three guests in the studio, so and the studio is huge, so it's hard to see them, but otherwise we're going to be discussing the impact of short-term rentals and Airbnbs. Yep,
the whole vacation rental thing has gone kind of nuts.
And as Sandy said, Airbnb is kind of a shorthand like Kleenex for tissues. It's gotten so, it's gotten generic. So generic and so name recommended. So you want the guests to introduce themselves?
I just
want to
say Sandy did a great job of identifying some of the issues. And it's amazing, first, how much you can get done in a 45-minute show here on Democratic Perspective and how little you can get done in a 45-minute show. But she did establish that this is a state issue and that, you know, you can call the city, always happy to talk to you, but they can't solve Airbnb rental.
Let's start off with this, folks. Issues. You can call and yell at the city councilors and the mayor, but they cannot do anything about it. And we'll talk about why they can't do anything about it in state law.
So the continuation this morning.
Enjoy yourself yelling at them.
That's right.
Nothing they can do.
Yes, and they will enjoy it also. So the continuation show we're doing here this morning are the actual, this is like finding the animals in the wild here. These are the people really affected, at least by this first salvo, this first, major, at least that we found, attempt to commercialize what was a nice private little thing. As you said last week, this isn't your, history professor renting out his extra bedroom. This isn't Mike who spent 3 years building a guest house for his kid who said, screw that, I'm not living there, and rented it out. That's not this issue. This is a bigger issue, and we're going to talk about this morning. And we have some great people that are going to tell us about it.
All right. Why don't we start with Ernie Straub. Rhymes with wow, right?
That's correct.
Whoa.
And Ernie is a nonpartisan, mostly nonpartisan activist in Sedona on how many issues? I don't know. So always active.
I'm not sure about that nonpartisan part, but the activism part is true.
Ernie's worked on three major issues. The 179 highway, which was a beautiful highway, and depending on who you are, you can argue about that. The lights on 89 and El Rojo Grande certainly was their recent success.
And then we have, you got your mic so you can talk there, Sabina. We have Sabina Dunton. Sorry, I've already got her names messed up. Who's deeply affected by the Airbnb situation in your neighborhood, right? And you're an activist trying to deal with the fact that this huge Airbnb is going into Airbnb is going into a residential neighborhood. This, we talked a little bit about it last week. It has like 8 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms and,
a
bunk
ten
room.
Bathrooms.
10 bathrooms.
8 master suites, 10 bathrooms, and a bunk room.
And let's ask you, but there's no regulation of this. Technically, this is a single family home, right? So it's not being regulated. I mean, we have Steve Segner here. He has a hotel. There are regulations, right, Steve, that govern your hotel, the cleanliness, food.
Well, the regulations for hotels are severe. And taxes are severe. We have to be built on commercial properties. We have to be in certain neighborhoods. Now we have to be in lighted intersections. We have to do traffic flow studies before we're built. We're inspected by the health department. We're inspected by the fire department. So all those things we have to do, you don't have to do if you just open up your home and rent it out.
So let's name some names here. Who's building this place?
There's a fellow. The owner is Passion LLC. His last name is Rife.
Uh-huh.
And he's from Glendale, but he's backed by, and he's seeking on the internet financing even for this first project.
Okay, and so just to be clear, we see this, I mean, this is, not that we see it as, this is not a single family home. It is an attempt, because it's being advertised on the internet as a vacation rental.
Well, it's a very interesting family home.
As an Airbnb.
Family home, Mike. I mean, really weird.
I understand, but he's advertising it for sale and for rent. So
right.
So it's not like he's advertising to his
cousin. So he's obvious about it. Right, right. He's obvious about what it is.
It's a commercial business that is establishing this suite retreat vacation rental in the middle of a totally residential neighborhood.
This, so, Brandon, when you say suite retreat, you're talking about the name of it.
S-U-I-T-E.
You're not complimenting. Okay,
no,
got it.
I'm not. No. Okay. No, and it's just outside the Chapel Vista 1 and 2 subdivisions. But if you know the Chapel area, the entire upper and lower Chapel are all modest residential homes. And here this fellow has purchased this lot and a couple of lots next to it. And his intent is to put a 6,500 square foot, two-story home with 8 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, and a bunk room. Who knows?
The bunk room sounds interesting.
Yes, how many? And then there, of course, is the issue of parking. And they're putting in a recreation area with a pool. And one of the concerns of the residents, of course, is all the noise, the parking on the street. And again, if you know the Chapel area, we only have one exit. We have the exit that goes out at Chapel Road and Fox, right in front of the parking lot to the Chapel of the Holy Cross, which is a congested area anyway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So one of the things we're very concerned about is the traffic and the congestion. And one of the things we are working with the city on is for another exit.
Is this thing near your home? You live in the Chapel area?
Upper Chapel area. Yes, it's just outside of Chapel Vista 2. There was sort of some landlocked lots, but there was an easement, and a couple of years ago, a little gravel road was put in the easement, and then these lots were offered for sale. There were 6 lots that were offered for sale.
So you've been active and instrumental in opposing this. You and Ernie is another person. And have you tried to contact the person who's going to build it to ask him what he's doing?
Oh yes. Okay. The neighbors on our group, we've been very active. They've talked to him. Actually, at times he's been quite rude to them, and he is very open about what he's building. It is a motel-like suite retreat. And that because of this law, he can do it, and it's classified as a single-family residence. So it's a motel in the middle of this totally residential area.
And they're going to have to drive through down this one road and then wind around to get to it, the traffic, I mean.
Right. It's going to be traffic in our area that is already congested with the people who visit the chapel.
I think folks listening to this are just going to be astonished, Ernie, that there's nothing the city can do about this. That the city, I know, we talked to Sandy, and I know she'd love to do something about it. I mean, but I think that the people have a hard time believing that the city can't do anything about this. That nobody seems to be able to do anything about it. Maybe your group can, Ernie.
Well, the Sandy did a good job, I think, last week of attempting to explain this. But I brought along the Arizona Revised Statutes.
He's going to read the whole statutes, folks.
This is the law, okay? When we refer to things as SB 1350 or whatever, that's a bill. And a bill is not a law. That's what it's called before it becomes a law. When it becomes a law, it's incorporated in the Arizona Revised Statute. So we have two things. Sometimes it's confusing.
I think that's a good point. I think people don't understand that. And SB is a Senate-based bill. It started in the Senate, right?
Yes.
That's how you know
exactly.
It's a Senate.
Okay. And anyone is encouraged. And what I'm going to do is after this program, I will send these particular statutes to the station, and they will be posted on the Democratic Perspectives website.
Oh, great.
So
yeah.
That everybody can refer to them. But basically, very quickly, the original law that Sandy referred to in 2016 says a city may not prohibit vacation rentals or short-term rentals, and a city may not restrict the use of or regulate vacation rentals or short-term rentals. Okay? So right there, it's glaring black and white right in our face. The city has been preempted from dealing with this issue by the state. And then there are definitions of what a short-term rental is, which is individually or collectively owned single-family house or dwelling unit. Okay, so this is a dwelling unit.
Now, this includes the county can't do anything either, just to be
correct.
Clear.
Correct. Okay. That is also a transient public lodging establishment or owner-occupied residential home offered for transient use. So that is exactly the category that this fits, that we, the city, are prohibited from regulating.
I went to school for 20 years, Ernie, and it sounds like a hotel.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
It is. You'll see another category where it talks about what the definition of transient lodging. Lodging includes B&Bs, mm-hmm. hotels, motels, rooming houses, anything that would be very similar to this. Except there's an exclusion. The transient lodging classification does not include the activities of any online lodging marketplace. Okay?
I found that interesting. The online lodging marketplace means a digital Airbnb website.
Right, all of them. I mean,
all of them.
Whether it's HomeAway, VRBO,
oh, I see. Right.
They're all digital.
Right.
They go through a major management organization like the ones we just mentioned.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them, almost by definition, different. They're called out separately.
So Steve,
they don't apply to the transient lodging that everybody thinks they
isn't
should.
Isn't there an exemption in there for homeowners associations?
They don't specifically mention that I've found. But yes, but it can't be. Anyone who's doing anything already at this point is...
Yeah, but if you're a homeowners association, the way I understood it, and you have rules and regulations prohibiting short-term rentals, you're exempted.
If you had them before this law
And I can't help but think that most of our state senators down in Phoenix lived in homeowners associations. And I have always fought this because I always felt it was forced on people who had single-family homes in residential neighborhoods, but planned communities kind of stood above it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Also, I think if people are not sympathetic, they think, well, what do we care about the hotels and bed and breakfast and stuff? And this is really unfair to you guys.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, this is really just grossly unfair. I mean, it puts hotels and bed and breakfast mm-hmm. and everybody else is doing things and following the law. It puts you at a disadvantage. But it's unfair in a way that it astonishes me.
Yes, and just speaking from our community, our residential community, we know and we don't mind that people in our residential area are renting out a room or two, or even renting out their home when they're gone. But to have someone come in from the outside, a commercial entity, to build a huge motel totally changes the character of our neighborhood.
If you had three of them, it would be really damaging, and he
right.
could possibly build them, three of them, if he can raise the money. Right?
His intent is to build three. There's another three lots that on the same day those lots were sold to another person in the Phoenix area, and there could be an additional three more. So in that small area, there could essentially be six huge motels.
What can your community do about it? You're in the community. You're living there. Ernie, you live there too, right?
Yes, a couple of blocks away.
We are working as we can with the city. There is in one of the.
You really got to get on the mic. I'm sorry.
In the house bill that has become law, there is a provision in there that the cities and counties can develop some protections if it's related to health and safety. So one of the things that our community is doing is trying to identify some of the health and safety issues, like the demand on the sewer system, the noise, these huge excavation trucks are going through the neighborhood to take these rocks out because the fellow is digging down, and it's ruining the roads, traffic congestion. So we're working on that.
And the point I get for Ernie and Steve, for example, is if this guy can do this, then anybody can do it anywhere in the city, unless there's an HOA, right? I mean, if you can do this once, and if it works economically, why not do it everywhere?
Well, there's good news in this, in the sense that there's a bit of a bubble going on right now in Sedona and in building. And I know the finances and what it takes to build a hotel, pay the loan back, do the advertising, pay your staff, and run it. And I think no bank will ever loan on this because it's a non-conforming loan because you're building a commercial property in a residential area. So these people are not going to be able to go to a bank and get a loan. So they're going to have to get investor money. And they're going to have to raise, my little pencil figures, is at least $2.5 million to build the first phase. $2.5 million, he'd have to run almost 90% occupancy at $600 a night. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to see these people, they get investors, somebody puts in 10 grand, somebody puts in 100,000. There's a pro forma that shows they're going to make a lot of money, but it doesn't pencil out. And what I'm kind of working on right now is that this hasn't really affected the hotels business-wise. It's affected the hotels that we've lost places for our staff to live. We've lost our community of people who were living in casitas and back rooms, and they were our waiters, and they were our maids, and they were our landscaper. They could kind of live around town. They're gone.
So Steve Segner owns El Portal Hotel. We're listening to Steve Segner, but you also have a position.
I run the Hotel Association, and I was the original one that fought this. I was on this program, I think, 3 years ago, and I said, this is a bad law. This is what's going to happen. I asked for help. I hired somebody down in Phoenix to fight the law. I wrote letters. I asked to meet with the governor, and I got no help. And so it's come to fruition. Like in Sedona, we tend to overreact at the wrong time. And so here we are overreacting. I'm not looking at this from a financial point of view. The hotels are actually doing okay, but the hotels were not allowed to advertise the way we need to advertise because we're blamed for all the traffic now. Well, we have over 700 registered locations now in the valley around here for overnight rentals. We've only put in 189, I think, rooms in Sedona in the last 10 years for hotels.
Steve, let me ask you, what, and I'll ask the rest of you, what do you think motivated this legislation to forbid the cities and counties from being,
I talked to the governor's office, and when he came in, he was coming in on a wave of deregulation. And his idea was this was going to be his statement of how he wanted to run his administration. So he was going to go in, and the first blow was to take away unnecessary oversight by government. And so he thought the best way to do it, this law was his standard piece. The other thing he was trying to do is take away regulation of training people to cut hair and do nails and all these things he saw that were just in the way of, quote, business. So when we talked to him, they said they didn't really want to negotiate. They were going to do the law. This is his statement of how he's going to run the administration. We asked for hearings. And they said there's no need for hearings because we're going to do it. Now, after the fact, they say, well, there's unintended consequences. And we said, well, that's why we have hearings.
That would have come out at hearings.
It would have come out.
Had them.
And it could have been. Now, I met with the city, and I actually met with Jessica, our city councilor, years ago. And Jessica said to me, Steve, can't the lodging system come up with a way that we could allow this? And I said, Jessica, absolutely. I think that we could sit down as a city and come up with regulations that both sides could agree to in neighborhoods. You know, somebody has to live in the house to kind of keep an eye on it. And so the city was going down that road to write this legislation when the state jumped in and took it over. The other thing you have to realize, the state does not like legislation at the local level. They really want it pulled back to the state level. A prime example is when Flagstaff tried to pass a law on plastic bags. Oh, my God, plastic bags. Well, it's a local law. So the state has passed a regulation that if any law attempted to be passed or passed by a local government, a state senator does not like, he can ask the state AG's office to investigate. If they do not like the law, they can then take away state funding from that municipality.
Well,
so there's a lot more to it than just this one regulation.
And these folks are on the receiving end of this, Steve. They're living in a neighborhood where Ducey's law affects you directly, right?
Right. And here's one of the problems. I happen to be on a next door kind of a blog, and a lot of people have come up with ideas and suggestions as to how they handle this in, for instance, the state of Arizona, or I'm sorry, the state of California, or Colorado, or New Jersey, or other places. Right. Well, there's a little more rationale in those states than we have here, because just as Steve declared, there's one other factor that I'd like to make, and that is that I understand that Governor Ducey's another intent of this particular law was to facilitate what he called the sharing economy. Now, the sharing economy consists of things like Uber and Lyft and this type of a lodging situation. Again, if it were controlled somewhat, as most other states have, most other states have controlled and have set up the very things that Steve was talking about and we all agree would be just fine in our communities. But the commercialization and the taking of transient lodging, whether it's called a hotel, a motel, a lodging room, or lodge or whatever, or B&B, they should be designated to commercial areas.
So we do want to be clear here. You don't want to vilify necessarily Mr. Rife and Passion LLC and Sweet Retreat Vacation Rentals. But all you're looking for is some regulation. And now you're going to, in order to take control of your neighborhood, in order to not have all the negative things that you're looking at trying to stop this through, and others anyway, through street regulations or health regulations. I mean, this seems a backdoor way, and maybe not a good way to, and because in this case, he can just take the dirt out at a different time. In other words, this is not likely to stop any sort of development.
Right, and legislation is frequently operated this way. We were talking about that in the car here. Frankly, I'm going to guess that many of the legislators who voted for this particular law had never read the law. And the problem is that they rely on staff members to do so.
And they never thought about it.
Well, the staff members happen to, guess what, live in Phoenix, mm-hmm. okay,
right.
at the state legislature.
Sure.
That's where you get your staff members. So they aren't local people. They're, very diverse and disperse in their attitudes. And so they don't really reflect rural America, and nobody ever thought of what a particular the consequences of this type of action on a small town, particularly one that relies to a great extent on visitors,
yeah.
and where just essentially floods of activity happen. Now, I also think that the individual, Passion LLC,
right.
If I were him, he's doing a smart thing.
Right.
He's got a law that lets him basically almost
escape regulation and a lot of taxes.
Yeah, this is really a good deal for him.
I one of the things is that it's a commercial enterprise, as it's truly a lodging. It's a motel that is masquerading as a single family residence, and that's what the law allows. And one other thing I wanted to bring up, even though I'm representing the Chapel area, is that this truly could be, for all of Sedona, a major problem. Any vacant land that's in residential areas in Sedona, the city could approve exactly the same thing, and these developers are looking for quiet neighborhoods where they can establish these motels and turn them into Airbnbs.
Sabina Dutton. They don't need city approval.
They need it technically, Mike, you've got to have a roof on the place if it's a house.
The city cannot.
Not stop them.
Stop them. They have to approve it.
I see. Yeah.
And importantly, they have to approve it because there was a Senate bill that was put into law that said if the city did anything to stop this state law, that they would either be sued or not receive their allocation of money from the state.
It really doesn't have to be approved. What happens is if you're in compliance in a zoning area, it just goes to the city and they look at your plans to make sure the plans are correct to the zoning. And that's it. It doesn't go to P&Z. It doesn't go to the city council. There's no approval process whatsoever.
Except the basic regulation.
You're going to build a good, safe building, and that's
right,
it.
Right, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now, that's one thing that a lot of the people that are responding to some of the things I've put out there have said or believe that there should be some city regulation. Well, this is under regulation or under the residential zoning, mm-hmm. which is the only thing we're talking about mm-hmm. here today. Residential zoning does not go through P&Z. It's only commercial, mm-hmm. lodging,
right. of course.
Multifamily. Right. Those projects go through P&Z and have hearings, and the city can modify some of the things that their intents are. In residential, there is nothing.
Getting lessons on municipal government here and its lack of, especially when the state wants to limit its ability to control the very places that they govern.
I'm thinking, Mike, that that in worst-case scenario, Sedona gets filled with Airbnbs. Yeah. There's no property tax in Sedona, so the property going up and down doesn't have an effect. And they can collect taxes on the Airbnb sales, so they would get the sales tax. So you have the town going along collecting the sales tax, the fire and school district collecting their property taxes for, and they're not being very many people here. In other words, it could end up with your neighborhood having these things all through it. It would break up the structure of your neighborhood. And if they did enough of it, Mike, it would break up the structure of the town. There wouldn't be any kids here. There'd be a school system with nobody with school age kids living here. The population of Sedona could actually drop the number of people here at any one point because most of them are tourists.
Well, it already has dropped. We've lost 500 residents that used to live in these locations. Now they've all moved out to Trailers, Camp Verde, or Cottonwood. So we're already down 500 to 700 people, medium age, 30s, 40s. Some have kids. They're gone. Those rooms are sitting empty now during the week so they can rent them on the weekend. That's already happened. I have a property on View Drive that I actually give to my gardener because I need to keep my gardener close by. So he gets a great deal. Every single home on View Drive is an Airbnb now, and the neighborhood doesn't look great. It's not kept up. I have two properties on Hart Road behind the Sedona Motel I bought. It was a house, and I turned it in to overflow for my hotel. Right next to me, there are two other houses. One sleeps 12 and one sleeps 16, and they're bunk beds. The motel, which is a very nice motel, Sedona Motel, he's having problems with the party people from the people behind his motel. Yeah. So you're getting people pulling in 15 motorcycles. They're each paying $35 to $45 a night. They have barbecues. It's just crazy.
They paid for it online, probably.
Yeah, and they get the room for $200 a night. They can sleep 12 people. It's a party house. What's happened is it hasn't affected the hotels as much, but if you're going to have a wedding, what you used to do is you would buy 6 or 7 rooms for the wedding or have a lot of rooms. Now they have a party house for the wedding. So they get a big mansion, nice big house, and then they have the great big party at that house. Palm Springs has a horrible problem with this, party houses. They sit vacant, and then people come up from L.A. on the weekends and they party. So there's a lot of problems. I read an article a few years ago in the New York Times, and they said that the biggest thing that the Internet has done to hurt America is it has killed the reporting at the state level, at the state Senate level. And they said the most important things that we all ignore is what goes on in our state government at the state level, because these are where the crooks are. And if you don't have people in newspapers following what's going on, a bill slips in and a bill slips in. And what are we doing? We're all watching Fox News or CNN. And we're looking at politics that we really can't affect. But we're letting the local politics and the state politics mostly just go unopposed.
We, Mike and I attended a seminar down at the Cronkite School in Phoenix, and there were some investigative reporters from Arizona there. And one of them said, you know, and Mike questioned the guy, and he said, look, we told you everything you need to know about Joe Arpaio and not enforcing the sexual abuse cases. It's out there. Everybody knows. We've done our job in telling you what the problem is. If you don't listen to us, there's nothing we can do. We've done it. We're reporters. We completed our job. Nobody pays any attention. Nobody cares. Then it's on you. It's on you guys. Yeah.
I want to give this guy his kudos. Dennis Welch. You can catch him on Channel 3, Channel 5. He does a little comedy. He's a very active journalist down in the Valley. Dennis Welch.
That's true.
Could I just go back to something that Steve brought up about the effect on neighborhoods? And actually, people in our area are afraid that the neighborhood will ultimately become total Airbnb, and and many of my neighbors given this little motel or these motels that are going on in the middle are evaluating whether they are going to move, mm-hmm. just as Steve was talking about, because we want to live in a neighborhood where we have neighbors. And when, as people age, these same kind of developers are looking out for homes that they can buy in a beautiful, quiet neighborhood. And you can't tell one of the homeowners, oh, don't sell. They're going to sell to the highest bidder. So there is true concern about from our people about it becoming an Airbnb neighborhood and not a place that we want to live.
I have a friend who's interviewing realtors to sell this house, and one of the realtors said, and they've sold four or five $1 million houses in the last few months, whatever, and that two of the houses that they've sold that are over $1 million were bought by corporations to turn them into Airbnbs. So if you look at that's one realtor who sold two houses to corporations that are over $1 million for Airbnbs. How many houses are being sold?
Well, I want to look at
for that purpose. I mean, it is, and there's no reason if you're a realtor. I mean, the corporations have the money; they pay their money. Their money is just money is really objective. It's just what it is.
The state has drawn the lines here. So let's see who's on whose side here. You got the state, you got the investors and owners. So you got the suite retreat vacation rentals in the state of Arizona against. In this point, we're going to look at it this way. Who's on your side? You got the League of Cities and Towns. You got a Sedona city government is trying to help you guys right. establish some regulations. You got the what this is an organization called the Greater Arizona Mayors Association, I guess, on your side. All these people are going to this, are trying to regulate these.
Lodging council
trying to. What can they do? How can you fight? It sounds silly, but how can you fight the state?
Yes. And there's only one way. And I've discovered this with the. With ADOT on 179 and the county on El Rio Grande, et cetera. And the way you do it is you make a public outcry because they do still have to be elected and reelected. They're all concerned about that. So what we need to be doing is making individual letters to the governor, to the state president, Karen Fan, to our own three representatives, two state House of Representatives and one senator, Sylvia Allen, and raise an outcry and raise these points that
Let's ask Sabina, okay. Is that what you're doing? Is that you're getting in the community? You're trying to raise an I mean,
we're trying to raise.
Think people, it just, I don't live near the Chapel neighborhood. I would think people would be really damn upset.
Yes, yes. We've had two large, first one was small of our neighbors, then a larger meeting, and we have got the lists of the legislators, the governors, and some points that need to be included in individual letters, and our people are anxious to write those letters to the governor, to the legislators. We need to start with the ones in our District 6 first. We've, of course, talked to the city officials. One of the things that's going to happen on July 24th is Bob Thorpe is running for re-election. He's one of our House of Representatives at the state level for District 6. He is coming, and he is asked to meet with Sedona to talk about this issue. Our understanding is that he thinks he's going to come, and everybody's going to thank him for the wonderful passage of these laws that have allowed people to use their properties for income. But I think what he's going to get is a lot of pushback from people whose homes and neighborhoods are being destroyed.
When and where, Sabina, is the meeting that people can go to? It's a public meeting, folks. You can just show up.
That's going to be the meeting on the 24th is at City Hall. As I understand, it's at 3 o'clock, and they have confirmed that Bob Thorpe's going to be there. So they can come, people can come, and spend 3 minutes expressing themselves, or however he wants to accept that. But right now, we are urging our people to communicate with the state legislators and the governor. And one of the other things I would like to say is we would like other concerned neighborhoods and people to join us.
Good point. This isn't going to stop at the chapel.
Right.
With
no,
this law, it's coming to you for sure. The money is too good. The deal, the lack of regulations and the potential reward is much too tempting, for even in spite of some of Steve's math here, at least in this current place, there's lots of other neighborhoods in Sedona, lots of beautiful spots, lots of nice quiet spots that these guys are going to sell because that's what sells. The chapel, what a beautiful place. Yep. It sells, especially online.
See how different this is, Mike, from you renting out a room or a guest house. This is a whole nother level of activity, and it's like a quantum leap, and it's a quantum leap to very nasty process.
But I think this is a stopgap. I'm not a letter writer, and I'm involved in local politics a lot, and I'm more action oriented. And I really think what happens is you have a state legislature that does not like local rule. They have a philosophical difference with our belief system that we should run our own local government. And I really think we have to throw the bastards out. Okay? It just comes down to it. We need to turn our state legislature from being so conservative that they take away the power from the people. Now, Republicans are usually about power to the people, but not our state legislature. We need to get Democrats back in office who are willing to compromise and look at the big picture. So we need to look at the state legislature for two reasons. We have reapportionment coming up. Okay, after we do the census, we're going to go back all across America, and we're going to start looking at how we have these congressional districts. So this is a very, very important election, and people have to get involved and start voting correctly at this next state senate.
Lori Roberts, wonderful columnist for the Arizona Republic, said, let's unkook the state legislature decook.
De-cookification.
It's one thing to have unreasonable people in either party, but the Arizona legislature seems to have attracted people that are just, Bob Thorpe didn't have a way to contact him for his first two terms. I'm exaggerating, but not by much. He didn't have a picture on the Arizona legislative website. He's been this sort of ghost of the legislature that's just now coming up because, like you said, he's looking for election. I believe he's going to be running.
And he has not confirmed this meeting. Nobody can get in touch with him, and we don't know if he's going to show.
There you go. That's
typical.
That's Bob Thorpe.
That's Bob Thorpe. We looked into Bob Thorpe's background. We couldn't find out anything. He's just like who is that?
That's his MO for sure.
Mike, we got 1 minute.
Yeah. So listen, we want to thank everybody here. Sabine Dunton. We got Ernie Straw. We got Steve Segner. Great guests talking about a local problem. Thank you, Sandy Mariarty, for alerting to this, and Jessica Williamson, of course, for bringing this. It's a lot happening here in Sedona right now. We want to talk about Democrats of the Red Rocks for helping make Democratic Perspective possible here on Chasm Radio. They give us a few bucks. We want to remind you that there was a wonderful meeting in Cottonwood tomorrow at the Red Rooster Cafe of local Democrats on that side. Kat Ginzel and her crew of Claudia Clark will be there there's some wonderful soup. Jim Ariola makes some great soup. Folks, don't forget, you can listen to this show and all our shows on vvid.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.